Careful side of the metaphor.
I was about to say that.
You know, Dad,
careful how you say
this. Dad wasn't shy about taking on some pretty risky things. He, first of all, had a big family. And then secondly, he was everything from a volunteer fireman to a tenor singer. And he used to do some some pretty out there stuff as far as taking risks.
So okay.
So I think he had a pair of rats.
I get you. All right. I was looking. I was
you're waiting for that to come around. I'm
waiting for a gotcha. Sweet.
So I think his buddies named him that and it stuck.
Somehow the name was neutered a little bit though, wasn't it?
All right. Trying to be good.
We got Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory. They are the team from Home Sweet Home, and we're gonna talk to them a little bit more about their business and their show. Hang on, you listen to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingBerea.com. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamber.com. I got the Home Sweet Home team here. They're going to be on at 11 o'clock, but we're delving into a little bit of the background of it all, and we'll get to the whole show thing in a little bit. But I guess the real question is, guys, what led you to the occupations that you're in? What led you to Taskman? And
woo, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was my grandfather was a contractor. He was a carpenter. My dad was very much in the hardware business, and we lived on a small farm, which was basically perpetual reconstruction, meaning, you know, it was an old late 1700s, early 1800s. So you learned real quick. Of course, I was in the seventh of seven siblings, and we all learned real quick how to take care or rebuild things and build things. Fast forward to... I started out in construction, bottom line. Oldest brother was in construction, used me as his grunt, labor worker, whatever, you know, beat the crap out of me, you know, said, go get this, go get that shingle, you know.
But now you're the one that's putting it together. How did you get on the other side?
Well, and that's time and experience, and I evolved and started working for other contracting companies, for everything from mobile home manufacturers to contractors, Hovnanian here in New Jersey. I was one of their service managers here on the quality side. Mm-hmm. And that all progressed through a corporate career as well, where I got introduced to commercial real estate. Long story short, was always an interest of mine, flipped my own houses, rebuilt many of my own houses, mm-hmm. and then came out and did an early retirement on a corporate thing. And I said, you know, I'm going to go out and do something I really wanted to do. Decided to go back into construction. Mm-hmm. And over 50 years of age, hauling sheetrock and plywood
yep.
is not fun.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I had my home inspection license. Actually, didn't I was playing at that job part-time and then realized, you know, this fits. This is what, so since 2004, long story short, I've been full tilt. Home inspecting, and I love it. It's a blast. It's just helping people out, understanding what they're getting into, and more importantly, basically enlightening them to that emotion, you know, connecting the emotional with the reality of what am I doing with this house?
Right.
What am I doing with this commercial property? Right. So the commercial side's usually very unemotional in business, and the residential side's all emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking
cool.
to it. Yeah.
Patrick, how did you get into the construction biz?
A little bit by mistake, a little bit by other people telling me to do it, actually, my wife in particular, because I would have never, ever have thought of going into contracting because you always hear about these terrible situations where people get sued because you did yep. the wrong thing.
Sure.
And me being from Canada, it's just a little bit of a culture shock when you move to the United States. We moved here in the year 2000 in Hunterdon County. And I certainly didn't want to get into like a litigation issue. But
are you implying that the U.S. doesn't have tort reform?
Sue crazy?
Yeah, sue crazy.
But
it's a tough industry, man. It's a tough industry. There's a lot of characters out there.
I've been very blessed for the last 10 years with what I've done. And literally, I came from the corporate world. I've always been good with my hands from the age of like 10 years old when I first punched my fist through a drywall and my dad looked at me and said, I'm not fixing it. And I had to fix it.
Mother of invention.
And
right there.
When I quit my last computer IT type job, my daughter was born, and I decided to stay home for almost 4 years with her as a stay at home dad.
Neat.
And
very neat.
When she started going to school, she was 4 years old, I turned around and said, I'm not going back into IT. I'm out of it. There's mm-hmm. no way I can turn
yeah,
around and
hard.
Get back.
Yeah,
in.
I mean, jumping back
and,
in after that
I
time.
I didn't know what to do. And my wife was the one that basically said, why don't you become a handyman, like a contractor? Here in Hunterdon County, we had realized very early on that contractors were hard to be able to come to your house and provide estimates. They back then in the year 2000, 2004, contractors were going crazy. They had their pick of the lot. Whatever they wanted to do, it was easy enough to get the job.
Yeah, there wasn't enough resource.
I had a job where I wanted...
Crazy building environment at the time.
Yeah, it was.
I needed a mason to fix my chimney, rebuild mm-hmm. my chimney. I called 4 masons. Only one showed up. The other ones blew me off.
Right.
He's the guy that got the job. And I looked at that and I said, you know, there's a niche here that I can get into where people really need someone that's reliable that'll come in and help them out maybe for an hour or two for the little small jobs. And that way I'm not poaching the big jobs from the contractors that want those big jobs.
Sure.
And that's where I went with it.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to talk IT, man. I didn't realize this. We're getting deep now. What did you do in IT?
I was in the customer service area of a company called Dendrite. Back in Morristown.
And, I know Dendrite.
You know Dendrite?
I tried to get in there a lot of times.
So I was,
it was supposed to be a great company to work for.
We could talk offline about that. I mean, they don't exist anymore. They were bought out, but it was a privately owned company by an Australian man, very brilliant businessman, and he basically had 95% of the pharmaceutical market for, it was a customer relationship.
When you get to $150 and yet another $1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty Points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty Points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 26 degrees. Clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day. We might have some snow showers later that day and a low of 31 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, showers in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, a high of 45. Temperatures in our area? Well, we got 24 up in Glen Gardner, 26 over in White House Station, 24 at the County Complex, 25 in Ringo's, 25 in Lambertville. That's Good Morning Hunterdon and Hunt Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Alright, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshipper.com. I got Patrick and Steve, or Steve and Patrick. We're going to argue about top billing in just a minute. Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory are the hosts of Home Sweet Home, which has been on Huntshipper Radio for about 7-8 months, close to a year now. And they used to be at 1 o'clock. They moved to 11. And I had the pleasure of sitting with them during the Business and Home Expo. And funny guys and really a lot of expertise. So going to talk to them a little bit about their business, talk a little bit about their radio station, and talk a little bit about life in Hunterdon County. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, this is Big cool. Seat. Patrick has been busting down my door trying to get on the show, and I made some arrangements for you, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he hit me over the head and said, you got to start cornering him. We got to get on his show.
Hey, you got to market yourself.
That's right. I love it. Now, Patrick and Steve, we have a little Hunter and Chamber radio group where we're trying to make improvements, think of ideas, and you two took the bull by the horns and grabbed your show and started to make some evolvements with it. And we as the elder statesman of the radio, I've been on for 4.5 years now, appreciate how the passion that you guys bring to it. So it's nice to see and find out the thinking from the new set of hosts as to how this is all working for you. So we'll get to all that in just a minute. But first, let's get started with a little introductions. I got Steve Bailey. And Steve, just tell us a little bit about you and your biz.
Thanks, Chris. The business I'm in is I'm a home inspector here, and not to be confused with our building inspectors, our code friends. I'm on the commercial side. If you're out to buy purchase a property, or whether commercial or residential, my game plan is to come in and help my clients understand what they're buying. And really simply, we take the time to evaluate the property, walk through it. I'm a licensed inspector in the state. I'd like to say guided, but I would say we are legislated to by the engineering board of the state. So there are definite steps we go through to make sure that we have our clients up to snuff on what they're about to purchase and maybe some of the details they didn't know about.
Cool. We're going to get into this in a little bit because I got some questions about this. But everybody who's ever made a purchase, business or residential, it's been in their best interest to have an inspection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the mortgage companies want one.
Oh, yeah.
So it needs to happen, and it gives you some advice as to how to even negotiate your final purchase.
Absolutely.
So cool.
Absolutely.
Patrick, what's your gig, man?
Yeah, I've been in business since 2005, and I really appreciate coming on the show with you.
Hey, thank you.
I'm at awe at the way that you're using the soundboard. I'm trying to, you know, because Steve and I, we kind of trade off once in a while.
No, Pat's the engineer.
he's touted me as being the
program manager, engineer, head of state, you name it.
Yeah, when we have the co-host. When we have the co-host, there's always that
a little bit of friction.
Friction that goes on. It's funny. Jen and Jim do that, and when I was doing some shows with after I was here, and Chris Phelan and Richard would come in, and we'd have three of us, and we would all sit there and try and figure out who's gonna be the one that has to run the board. So,
amen.
This is all brand new to us, and we're just having a lot of fun with it because it takes us out of our regular role as you know, in what we do.
It's cathartic, isn't it?
It is.
I think so. Yeah. And the neat thing is that we have to try to use our words, our vocabulary,
Without the colorful metaphors, I might add.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not FCC licensed.
So,
I think that's where our...
And there's that really cool disclaimer that Chris always says that you're not part of the Hunter Chamber of Commerce, so it does not necessarily reflect. So as soon as I hear that, I got a green light.
We are the clean contractors. You'll never hear us say the F word or...
No, F-bombs
S-word
or
any of those other words that you might...
Boy, you're setting up a high standard now there, partner, I can tell you. Wow. Now I've really got to be on guard. But we haven't.
Bring your hand over here. Let me smack it with a hammer. I want to see if you hold back.
The neat thing about what we do is that, like I said, we have to use our vocabulary. We have to actually depict, because we can't show people.
Yep.
It's all just verbal, and yeah. I'm using my hands, and I'm trying to show in midair that I'm hammering and stuff. No one can see that, but we do it anyway.
That's right. We do it anyway.
we're like snickering at each other, going, "No one can see us. We're just trying.
We're the new Italian.
Just trying to paint a story.
We're conducting our radio show.
So, yeah. What is the name of your business, Patrick?
Taskman Home Improvements LLC.
Taskman,
yeah. Okay. And I came up with that moniker because, in my opinion, I'm marketing myself as a handyman,
okay,
a true professional handyman, and that, to me, depicts small repairs, maintenance. I'm not doing the big jobs like renovations. You know, you're not going to call me and ask me to do a finished basement or a kitchen job. I'm doing all those little repairs that need to be done on a very regular basis.
We are going to be talking after this show because I got a list, brother.
So, yeah, it's a task list.
Okay.
And that's where I come from that point of view.
Okay.
And been having a lot of fun. I like what I do.
Good.
And just unfortunately, age is starting to get in the way.
Uh-oh.
Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate that.
Yeah.
My knees are telling me differently.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of, I'm sure, up and down all the time, constantly walking around, constantly bending down. Hey, man, I'm with you. I don't do a lot of home improvements, and when I do, it's usually I have to call you anyway, because by the time I'm done, I've made it worse.
Yeah. That's my perfect client.
Okay. Well, I'm in big trouble then.
I'll get this. Basically, they'll say, my husband is so busy, and quite honestly, I love him to death, but he is terrible at doing the stuff around the house. I need someone like you, Pat.
There you go.
And I say, hallelujah. Let me in. I'll help you out. You know, I'd be happy to be able to assist you in any way.
Well, we're going to be chatting. And what's the name of your business, Steve?
The business name is Brass Tack Home Inspections, Chris.
All right. So,
yep.
Patrick gave us a reason why he did Taskman. Where did brass tack come
from?
Aluminum tack or gold tack?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, my sons and I were sitting around the table, and a couple of things came together in the conversation. It was, you know, Dad, you know, we don't have nice conversations anymore. We, you know, you're always driving me to a point. You're saying, you know, what are you trying to tell me? And, you know, you're always getting down to brass tacks. And, you know, and of course, the other one says, you know, Grandpa's nickname was Brass.
So, no way.
I said, well, there you go, guys. And of course, I give them credit, although they won't take it for naming the company. So it came down to brass tacks. And actually, I work from that vantage point. It's, you know, just the facts, man. You know, and my business has got to be, you know, we can get into a lot of emotional things about real estate transactions and people's excitement about things. But, hey, I'm here to tell you what I see, what's going on. And
he's Columbo.
And I've used that metaphor. I've actually walked into places and people say, why are you going back in that room? Remember Columbo used to walk and leave, and then he'd say, you know,
Just one more question.
So I say, just one more minute. I walk back in and see if I...
You should wear a trench coat.
That would be good.
I think it's a great idea. But that's where that name came from, and it's been fun ever since.
Why was your grandfather nicknamed Brass?
Well, it's my dad. It was their grandfather, my son's grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, we could probably take that to the colorful side of the metaphors.
I was about to say that.
You know, Dad,
careful how you say this.
Dad wasn't shy about taking on some pretty risky things. He, first of all, had a big family, and then secondly, he was everything from a volunteer fireman to a tenor singer, and he used to do some some pretty out there stuff as far as taking risks. So I think he had a pair of
I get you. All right, I was looking.
You're waiting for that to come around.
Waiting for a gotcha. Sweet.
So I think his buddies named him that, and it stuck.
Somehow the name was neutered a little bit, though, wasn't it?
Right. Trying to be good.
Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory. They are the team from Home Sweet Home, and we're going to talk to them a little bit more about their business and their show. Hang on. You listen to Good Morning Hunter and HuntJibberia.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntingChamber.com. I got the Home Sweet Home team here. They're going to be on at 11 o'clock, but we're delving into a little bit of the background of it all, and we'll get to the whole show thing in a little bit. But I guess the real question is, guys, what led you to the occupations that you're in? What led you to Taskman? And
woo, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I would say my grandfather was a contractor. He was a carpenter. My dad was very much in the hardware business, and we lived on a small farm, which was basically perpetual reconstruction, meaning, it was an old late 1700s, early 1800s. So you learned real quick. Of course, I was in the seventh of seven siblings, and we all learned real quick how to take care or rebuild things and build things. Fast forward to I started out in construction, bottom line. Oldest brother was in construction, used me as his grunt, labor worker, whatever, beat the crap out of me, said, go get this, go get that shingle,
But now you're the one that's putting it together. How did you get on the other side?
Well, and that's time and experience, and I evolved and started working for other contracting companies, for everything from mobile home manufacturers to contractors, Hovnanian here in New Jersey. I was one of their service managers here on the quality side. Mm-hmm. And that all progressed through a corporate career as well, where I got introduced to commercial real estate. Long story short, was always an interest of mine. Flipped my own houses, rebuilt many of my own houses, and then came out and did an early retirement on a corporate thing. And I said, I'm going to go out and do something I really wanted to do. Decided to go back into construction. Mm-hmm. And over 50 years of age, hauling sheetrock and plywood is not fun.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I had my home inspection license. Actually, didn't I was playing at that job part time, and then realized this fits. So since 2004, long story short, I've been full tilt home inspecting, and I love it. It's a blast. It's just helping people out, understanding what they're getting into, and more importantly, basically enlightening them to that emotion. Connecting the emotional with the reality of, what am I doing with this house?
Right.
What am I doing with this commercial property? Right. So the commercial side is usually very unemotional in business, and the residential side is all emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, definitely. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Patrick, how did you get into the construction biz?
A little bit by mistake, a little bit by other people telling me to do it, actually, my wife in particular, because I would have never, ever have thought of going into contracting because you always hear about these terrible situations where people get sued because you did the wrong thing.
Sure.
And me being from Canada, it's just a little bit of a culture shock when you move to the United States. We moved here in the year 2000 in Hunterdon County, and I certainly didn't want to get into like a litigation issue. And but
are you implying that the U.S. doesn't have tort reform?
Sue crazy?
Yeah, sue crazy.
But
it's a tough industry, man. It's a tough industry. There's a lot of characters out there.
I've been very blessed for the last 10 years with what I've done, and literally I came from the corporate world. I've always been good with my hands from the age of like 10 years old when I first punched my fist through a drywall, and my dad looked at me and said, "I'm not fixing it," and I had to fix it.
Mother of invention,
and
right there.
When I quit my last computer IT type job, my daughter was born, and I decided to stay home for almost 4 years with her as a stay at home dad.
Neat.
And
very neat.
When she started going to school, she was 4 years old, I turned around and said, "I'm not going back into IT. I'm out of it. There's no way I can turn around and
hard.
Get back
yeah.
in."
Yeah, I mean, jumping back
and,
in after that
I
time.
I didn't know what to do. And my wife was the one that basically said, "Why don't you become a handyman, like a contractor?" Here in Hunterdon County, we had realized very early on that contractors were hard to be able to come to your house and provide estimates. Back then, in the year 2000, 2004, contractors were going crazy. They had their pick of the lot. Whatever they wanted to do, it was easy enough to get the job.
Yeah, there wasn't enough resource.
I had a job where I wanted...
Crazy building environment at the time.
I needed a mason to fix my chimney, rebuild my chimney. I called 4 masons. Only one showed up. The other ones blew me off.
Right.
He's the guy that got the job. And I looked at that and I said, you know, there's a niche here that I can get into where people really need someone that's reliable that'll come in and help them out maybe for an hour or two for the little small jobs. And that way I'm not poaching the big jobs from the contractors that want those big jobs.
Sure.
And that's where I went with it.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to talk IT, man. I didn't realize this. We're getting deep now. What did you do in IT?
I was in the customer service area of a company called Dendrite. Back in Morristown. And,
I know Dendrite.
You know Dendrite?
I tried to get in there a lot of times.
So I was,
it was supposed to be a great company to work for.
We could talk offline.
Yeah.
About that. I mean, they don't exist anymore. They were bought out, but it was a privately owned company by an Australian man, very brilliant businessman, and he basically had 95% of the pharmaceutical market for it was a customer relation database, and all the pharmaceutical reps going out there to call on doctors would use this database to amalgamate and keep all their information about all their contact information, all the stuff that they did. And when it blew up, I was one of the first help desk tier one help desk people that these pharmaceutical reps would be calling in to ask questions, and I'd repair over the phone, basically. I would tell them they'd be in their cars waiting to go into an office building to meet with someone, and they have the blue screen of death, and I'd have to basically
talk them back out of it.
I'd have to actually go bring them into the code and actually repair a few pieces of code so that
you don't
could
have to do that anymore, man. It's a lot easier nowadays.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, I'm telling you already. But interesting work, and I again had that French connection. I speak French, so I was actually working for the Pfizer group in Canada.
Wow.
Here in Morristown, receiving phone calls from about 250 Canadian Pfizer sales reps, and 60 of them were French Canadians, and they couldn't speak a lick of English. So I that was my claim to fame, is to be able to at least service that market.
Bilingual.
Did you know you have this on your show, man?
This
did
is,
you know
this
you
is
have
talent.
This? I know.
Pure talent.
What made you come from Canada?
Work. when my wife and
I got
married.
Don't have work in Canada, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We come from Montreal, my wife and I, and when we got married, we took the decision that we did not want to live in Montreal anymore because of the political unrest, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, you guys were seceding from the organization.
See, there's not a lot of people that know about that. But
oh, yeah. I think a lot of people know about it, buddy.
Ever since I was born in the early 70s, there's been this big fight between the English and the French. And the French want to have their own culture and protect it.
Right.
It created such a rift that, I mean, every English-speaking Montrealer moved to Toronto back between the 70s and early 80s.
Is that right?
3 million people.
Packed up and moved.
Packed up and moved. Went down the 401 to Toronto. So Toronto is now the biggest city in Canada.
That's amazing.
And that always left me scarred a little bit. Even though my mother is French-Canadian and my dad's English, I rebelled a little bit. I refused to speak French until I got into the work market and realized if I wanted to stay in Montreal, I had to be able to speak both languages fluently. It came to a point where we wanted to move on. We wanted to go somewhere else in Canada, and my wife
New Jersey's not anywhere near Canada, by the way.
She received an offer in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And we moved to Pennsylvania, and you know, we were newly married, and we thought, yeah, we'd be here for 3 years on work visa.
Yep.
And 3 years turned into 6 years, and then we started going to get our green card. And now we're American.
I don't have enough time to talk to you about everything that's going to be going on. This is awesome.
What a great story. He does have a great story.
It's a great story, Patrick. Yeah,
he really is.
No, we really appreciate living in the United States. I mean, think about it. Us Canadians up there, there is no place to retire that's warm. You freeze your buns off. Yeah,
that's why they own half of Florida.
They go down to South Carolina.
Yeah. I do not
wear
a Speedo.
They're down there in shorts. It's 20 degrees.
I do not wear a Speedo, by the way. Yes. I did not bring that with me.
Good.
All right. So there's a great rapport with the two of you. How did you two meet? Because this is pretty funny. How did you guys get together and then decide to be part of a show?
I got a big story in that regard. Right. It was a networking group, I walked in, and it was up in Annandale, and I got to meet the whole crew up there, and I had done word of mouth marketing. I mean, I was in a semi-retired state of mind until my wife said, get out of your semi-retired state of mind. Get out the door and start doing
something. You hear a lot of wife stories going on here, guys.
Yeah, it's like
we love them.
Yeah, we love them. but they are
sincerely.
Influence. Yeah,
I know.
And long story short, met Pat up there, and the one story, just a quick story. I had to get used to this referral process. You know, you have to a certain amount of referrals every week in this networking group, and so on and so forth. And I remember the first time I had a conversation with Pat. I'm not sure he's going to remember this. Okay. I handed him off a referral, and it was I didn't do it the right way. Yeah. And he had called the contact, said, I don't know what you're talking about. Pat pulls me aside at the next meeting. He says, listen, man, you don't got this right. I don't know what your problem is, boy, but you know, that wasn't a referral. And I was like, oh, shit, this guy's – oh, sorry. That was
CC's all over his
and that's what I said, I'm in trouble. You know, and ever since then, it's been a warm friendship.
I honestly do not remember that. Was I rude?
No, you're good about it. I
have trouble finding you being rude. Patrick. Yeah, no offense, brother.
Yeah, that's right. I find that trouble as well. He's not. And then what happened is we got to know each other through various networking events, and of course the referral process business. Our businesses are closely linked.
Yeah,
if you think about it.
Sure.
I get asked all the time in my inspection process. Hey, you know, well, what would I do since I'm going to buy the house anyway, but I need to put screens in or. There needs to be a gutter repair. I'm not going to mess with that in the transaction. And, of course, my business is to be able to give good, reliable resources if I can. You know, everybody kind of steps back from that for fear of liability. But the bottom line is the more you create a family of competent colleagues, it's invaluable, you know, in my business. And that's where it came from. And we grew, you know, that relationship grew through that. Mm-hmm. And then having to look at each other every Friday and say, yeah, how you doing this week? Yeah,
well,
how you
doing this week? So now that brings me to the next step. How did the show get born?
Well,
so you guys knew each other from business. But
right.
How did
Well, this was not of my idea. Okay, this one not of my. Was that Italian?
not of my idea.
He comes up to me and he says, actually, some previous co-hosts that were here at Chamber had offered Patrick a visit. Come on down, visit the show. Mm-hmm. And then
I got the bug.
Did you?
He got the bug. And then he got
They
up.
Were funny too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And he got up in front of the group one time and said, listen, guys, I'm getting to a point where I want to transition my career to an HGTV type program. Patrick said that. I was in awe when he got up and
said, I want to be famous.
How do I do that? He wants to be famous.
And that's what you do in this group. You ask people and people. It's called Giver's Gain. That's a philosophy.
That's the network.
That's the network.
So people will actually go out of their way to try and help you.
It's the BNI network.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
the Business BNI Networking International.
I cut you off, actually. My fault. Go ahead.
No. And what it really is, it's basically a network. Well, Business Network International has a very structured process. It's very effective. A lot of people copy it.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm not in any longer, but use the principles still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And because what happens is once you trust someone to be able to be part of your little internal network, you know that they're going to be straightforward with your clients, and it's an easy, warm handoff to be able to recommend, say, Steve to one of my clients because I know he's going to do the job correctly and he's going to be well received by my clients. So we had that bond between us because
Absolutely.
Of what we had done in our group together, business group, and when I kind of proclaimed that I wanted to be famous, because you got to put it out to the universe, you know. You can't just say...
This is legit.
He literally got up there and said, I want to go into the entertainment
and
business.
So I asked.
Eight-minute presentation on this, Chris. Can you imagine
him saying eight minutes about I want to be famous?
Someone
in your contacts. This is 40 people in the room.
Right.
I'm saying there's someone that you know that you can introduce to me that is going to allow me to get into HGTV one of these days.
Right.
And I put it out there and... I didn't get a lot of responses. I got the local. There's some local people around here that do video stuff and all that stuff, but not from the HGTV.
So
there's going to be little stepping stones along the way. Yeah. And I decided, hey, I think the chamber is going to be able to help me as one of those stepping stones. And I said, I can't do this alone. I have to find a sidekick.
No, he's got to find a lackey is what he's... And I was perfectly happy with that role.
I need my Robin.
Yeah, that's right, Robin. A big fat Robin. That's what he's got here.
Okay.
So I asked him. I just went up to him and said, hey, I'm starting this radio show.
You want to come along?
I said, I think we could do really well together. And he kind of looked at me and said... Yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I reacted. Why not? We'll give it a shot. And we had a visit. We had that initial visit here at that show. And I felt comfortable with it because I'm not the kind of guy that likes to stand up on a stage and do things, you know.
Right.
But the radio, you know, I've got a face for radio. So that's
as far as the first one to say that.
Yeah, I know.
About you either.
Yeah, that's right. We always say that. Everybody
we always say that about you.
That's right. Yeah. But it's been a fun collaboration, and actually I enjoy it because I think you're right, Chris. I think it's a very cathartic thing you can do when you do your job every day, what you do, and you can come and verbalize, and you're kind of forced to verbalize the things that you're trying to help folks with. And I think that's a big part of our drive. There's a different sensory pattern that occurs in my brain, and it feels good to do that.
Well, you have to step out of yourself for a minute,
yeah,
and think about everything that you kind of do in a robotic fashion, because you've been doing it for so long. Mm. Now you sit back and you say, how can I explain this to somebody?
Right.
Someone that may not have any experience at all with tools or doing that kind of a project. So you have to step out and think from their point of view of how hard this is going to be for them to be able to actually perform whatever little task that needs to be done and give them the steps necessary to get there. And that was my idea from the first get-go, because you can go to YouTube and a lot of the millennials, I'm always – telling Steve this, there's a new generation out there of homeowners that have absolutely no clue how to fix their house.
Oh,
they live in it.
Yep.
If something falls apart,
they make a phone call.
They make a phone call to get it fixed. But there will always be that curiosity. There's these people out there that I want to try it because either they don't have the budget to be able to buy a service.
There's DIYers out there.
So now they're going to the internet.
Yep.
And there's a lot of internet free resources out there, how-to stuff. And I have to step it up one more notch to give them better information than what they can get on the internet already. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I'm working on it. And the idea really is to give them every step necessary, step one, step two, step three, not step one and then step 10 and it's done.
There's more to it, though, than Patrick, than that. And this is where I'm coming from. I get you that you're going to give people step-by-step instructions if they want to embark on it. Number two is, and we referred to it a little bit before, there's some shady characters out there in your biz. So making the homeowners aware of just making sure that they're hiring the right guy, a gal, or making sure that person's actually performing a quality gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is giving them ammunition so that they're not a total lemon. Same thing with going and getting your car done. There are places you go to get your car done, and once you find that person, that mechanic that I go to, okay.
It's cool.
But yeah. I've gone through a list of names of people that gave me a whole bunch of stuff, and you go take it back to this guy, and he's, what are they talking about? That's insane. Why would you do that?
Right.
So you need to educate your homeowners, regardless of whether they're going to do it themselves or not.
Exactly.
Three, it's your own advertising. Now they're learning about Patrick and Steve and the success that you guys bring, that you know what you're talking about, and you become a warm voice that they can trust, and it's going to drum up some business for you. So
right.
There's a number of different ways that this affects you.
Right. Right.
And affects our folks in Hunterdon County. And
right.
That's the cool part.
Yeah. It is. And, Chris, you hit the nail on the head. I mean,
It's a brass tack.
You're right down to brass tacks, my friend. You are dead on. Dead on.
Just hammer that brass tack.
Hammer that brass tack. And I'll tell you, you see these upstarts, and they're actually not upstarts. They're now mainstream, internet accessible, referralist, Angie's List, Home Advisor. I mean, they're advertising on TV. And really, that encompasses that fundamental, hey, come to us. Look at the user comments or the people's, it's almost client referrals online.
Mm-hmm.
What I think we're trying to do is bring to the table, we're like the guys out of Boston, the two brothers of the auto show. Mm-hmm. I forget what that show was, radio
click
show.
Click and clack.
Yeah, click and clack. And bringing the voice to that.
Car talk.
Yeah, car talk. That's what it is. Thanks. Bring that voice to it and not only, bring that conversation to them,
mm-hmm.
but be able to have that conversation with them. As opposed to,
yeah.
I'm looking online, there's a one-line referral, and there's another line referral.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part. And we do like that. That's something that we, I think it goes both ways.
So here's a question for you. Now that you have done this show and you've had to use your vocabulary and up your game in terms of communication, has that helped your business?
Oh, yeah.
Has that helped, like when your conversation with the customers?
Oh, yeah. I think it makes me thoughtful.
Yeah.
Much more thoughtful about the words coming out of my mouth as opposed to a reactive sense.
Mm-hmm.
I have an HR background as well as an operational background as well as a trades background, and that is coming together so much better now because of this experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can merge those experiences together where the conversation's A, more intelligent, more concise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less of a rattle trap about some of the things that are appealing to the client's real needs. For me to sit there and explain to you, that's your gas control valve, it's your water heater, you can adjust your temperature. Oh, by the way, there's a thermocouple behind that. Stop.
Right.
Where I just sit there and say, no, that's interesting to me. It's not interesting to them.
No.
It's not. They're like, what do I need to know?
Fix it.
Right. So you do. This is how this helps me
when
I sit there and say, we get into a conversation on a radio show, and I say, man, I go way down the road. Stop.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a learning event.
My two cents would be that, I've had a website for my business going back to 2009,
uh-huh.
and I get these repeated offers on email and people calling me all the time telling me that my website is out of date because it's from 2009.
Yeah.
And I know it. But my website is there as a presence just so that people can, it's validating me. You know, if someone needs to know who Taskman Home Improvements is, they can Google me and they can find me there and they can read about me. And I'm not expecting them to get a sale because of that.
Right.
It's just it's a validation that I'm out there and I exist. And doing this show is part of that. I don't think I've gotten any significant work related to someone listening to the radio program so
not
far.
Yet.
Not yeah.
Not yet.
And I mean, we just onto Facebook. I'm like a newbie to that. We just actually started our Facebook page three weeks ago.
I know. I was watching you guys building, scurrying around. Building.
I have no idea what. Honestly, we're trying to friend people, like people.
Hey Pat, what's
how
that
do you, how do you share? I don't get this.
How do you do that? How do you make me an editor, Pat?
I feel really old.
Thank God, you.
Yeah,
old.
But that's. But I think the next generation.
That's probably where people are going to see us. Yeah. You know,
that's where it is. That's
and right. And I keep telling my clients because my wife will tell me that the estimate takes 10 minutes, but I'm there for half an hour because I chat. Yeah. I'm a big chatty person. So I'll tell every client of mine, listen to me at 11 o'clock on Fridays. I'm on the internet. They're like, radio? You're on the radio? Yeah, it's internet radio. But just go to your computer and.
Turn it on.
Listen to me. And I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll try.
You know, I have to say I've turned now at least three or four clients have looked me up on my Facebook page, and I've linked to our archives. And one – and actually all three in one shape or form said, listen, I was bidding you out and listen to your voice, and that was the break point. I said, you mean I didn't put you to sleep? And
they ran away?
Soothing voice. It was that soothing voice.
Yeah,
it was that conversation.
Hey, and
I'm sure there's two to every one that's gone on the link and
Steve's
said, I'm not talking to that
good
client.
Guy. No. Steve, I got to meet Steve.
That's right. It's good guy.
Because I want to see what that face on the radio looks like.
That's right. It's that face right there.
All right. We're going to take a quick break with these guys. Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory, they are Home Sweet Home co-hosts, and we'll be right back. Hang on.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamber.com. Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory, it's the Home Sweet Home team. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the show. So it all got together. You guys came in. Somehow there was a comfort level, which is a little unusual, believe it or not. There's a little bit of an intimidation when folks come in for the first time.
Yeah.
But I guess you guys were past that. How'd you come up with the format?
Well, I think the format really drives out of what we both individually do in the ability to – I think the challenge – the format and the challenge, I say those at the same time because the challenge was to have a format based on what we do and how do we verbalize that. Mm-hmm. And it was based – and in my business, I end up for 3 hours, whether I'm entertaining you, educating you, or otherwise, I'm presenting to a client – exactly my findings. So I don't walk out and quietly walk through a house and say, see ya, go home and write a report, and then say, have a great day.
Right.
I literally take you in a house and I introduce you to a process that I'm going to take you through. I communicate that process every step of the way. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. This is what I'm looking at. So I felt comfortable in this setting taking that the next step, and that was, okay, so I'm not saying it to a client, but I am saying it to an audience. Mm-hmm. So my comfort zone came from, this is how I go about doing my work. This is how it's going to benefit you. This is how we're going to ultimately end in this process. And I felt it was very synergistic, I guess is the best word.
Wow. There's a vocabulary word right there.
How's that? I reached deep down the dictionary on that one.
Yeah,
my family has been yelling at me lately. You're using way too big words. Knock it off.
Big words. The 25-cent words.
We used to call them SAT words.
That's right.
How did you work out the billing and the – and you guys gave me a little hint about the engineering. But really, I mean, at some point, you know, Patrick – pardon me for saying this, but it looks like Steve dominates a lot of the conversation. So how do you keep him under wraps?
Yeah. He just steps on me hard.
I think I set him up. I serve him a good question, and he just answers it. So I just have to sit back and play music, or if I can't get the music.
Yeah, but that's not getting you the fame that you're looking for.
Wait a minute here.
Well,
he's usurping you.
I don't think I'm doing it.
I don't know. I always keep my eye on the ball in terms of looking at the past and different shows that I've enjoyed watching, and I'll refer back to This Old House.
Yep.
And the first host on that show was Bob Vila.
Yeah.
Bob Vila, love him or hate him, it was one or the other.
Yep.
A lot of times people thought he was just too nosy and he took charge of the whole thing and got in the way. He was a know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be talking with the professional that was fixing something. Norm, I think, actually kind of just got
sick
used to him. No, I think he had to work with him, and
yeah,
he had no choice.
Yeah.
Until
then Steve came.
He got kicked out. Yeah, now
not
Steve.
This Steve. The other
no,
Steve.
But Steve. So there, you served it up right to me. Steve was a different animal. He ended up.
He was actually a client.
Understanding, he was.
They
actually worked on his house, and then he said, "Hey, I could do this." And I don't know how they got rid of Bob Vila, but Bob Vila.
Bob actually
was his own entity.
Bob went to Sears,
right?
And was a big. It was a contract
thing.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't want to be a Bob Vila.
Okay.
I want to be more like Steve, where I can highlight what is necessary and make the other person shine as much as possible because they're
excellent.
The expert. They know what they're talking about.
Excellent.
I know a lot of – I always say as a handyman, I know a heck of a lot of things, but really not really in detail and in depth. So I have a good vocabulary of a lot of different subject matter, but
right.
I'm very little depth.
Sure. I think that's a little bit short, but that's okay.
But
He's humble.
And I keep – him in line here because on Monday mornings I'll be like, oh, we got a show on Friday. What the heck are we going to talk about? We start emailing each other like, well, here, I got an idea.
Exactly.
We kind of throw that out, and during the week it amalgamates into a show. And we figure we need at least four things to talk about, one for each segment.
Yeah,
that's all we need because then we could talk forever.
Yeah, you need is those bullet points, and boom, you're off and running. And believe it or not, it's it's easy to fill in those 15 minutes. That's That's pretty cool. What have you learned about the show and about yourselves when you've been doing it?
Well, I just learned that I occupy most of the show with my mouth, so I'm going to sit down and be quiet. I'm feeling guilty.
So 11 o'clock, it's going to be silent.
It's going to be Pat show.
No,
I'm just giving you a hard time. Give me a hard time. I'll tell you, in my case, it truly is sharpening the pencil with regard to your everyday living in my job. In particular, I think it just – you want to make sure that you're putting the right foot forward when it comes to publicly talking about not only what you do but what you're trying to represent both professionally and personally. And I think that's probably been the blessing for me is it's like, okay, this is just a different dynamic. I'm out there. Whether people are listening or not, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can. Do it well. Do it the best you know how. And I think that's just an excellent exercise for anybody to go through.